your boy gets carried away. They say sometimes I run my mouth. Well, Vader, listen up. This is the Clash of Champions. And you're walking that aisle tonight versus the Nature Boy and Double A. Don't be ashamed of those butterflies. Millions of people have felt those butterflies. It's anxiety. It's tension. It's knowing you gotta go against the two best. The two best in this sport. Clash of Champions. Vader, I'm begging you. Come on, brother. Come on, big man. I'm begging you. Lay a hand on me. You'll kill you. He's Double A. He's the enforcer. And I'm the Nature Boy. Woo!
Thank you very much.
I don't think my doctor would advise me to do this, but here I am fucking doing it. What's up, bitches? It's week one. Blue streak lives on. And the reason I'm saying this is because I had a fun weekend with my daughter. And, you know, that's one of the things about being a single dad. You're fucking here with your daughter. And if finally people are letting other girls stay over, right? I'm not viewed as a predator. My criminal record went through clean. You know, I'm in a pro-conservative Trump area. So, you know, a lot of parents feel comfortable with me. And they go ahead and let the little ones here run around, run amok. And I'm having to play fucking referee and all that. But it was fun. But the following day, I was with my daughter until after the 1 o'clock games. And I had to drop her off. I said, okay, let me go ahead and drop her off. I made a beeline over to Publix and got my fucking second shot. Fuck. And, you know, I had my first one. And I don't care where you're at with it. You're for it or against it. It's your body, your choice. It's like if you were fucking having an abortion, right? Like, I don't fucking care. But it's like I did it. And the first go around, I was out for at least a week. That shit hit me like a ton of fucking bricks. And I'm bracing for impact for round two. So this is the second one you got to get. And I'm just saying to myself, fuck, fuck, fuck. I'm going to die. And yeah, sure enough, took the shot. I ran home. I'm just shivering and shit, just waiting for the fury to kick in. And and I'm feeling okay. You know, I was talking to a couple of nurses, some of the things they told me. And I was like, okay, cool. Just took Motrin. And it was Motrin and Tylenol alternate every 4 hours. And I clock like clockwork, getting up. I mean, I had a rough yesterday, but today's better. So, do I feel 100%? Absolutely not. But fuck, it's week one. It's week fucking one, man. And obviously, you got six people that are excited, and then you have six people that are truly disappointed with their start. And it was just very interesting because in week one, we were able to see a couple of headlines, right? Are the Chiefs the best team in the AFC? That a great outing against the Browns, but the Browns stood their ground. Is Green Bay an uh-oh land? I don't know. I think Aaron Rodgers took off the whole preseason, so it's going to take time for them to get ready. Can the Steelers rebound and have a good year with the emergence of T.J. Watt and Big Ben? Right? Can Kyler Murray, because he looked like the best player out there on Sunday, but can the Arizona Cardinals take things to the next level? And then lastly, we had a good crop of rookie QBs putting in work. Zach Wilson, you had Mac Jones, and who else was it? There were three quarterbacks. See, I'm not 100%, guys, so I'm sorry. I know a couple of rookie quarterbacks have started and did some work. So, needless to say, we had an eventful first week. There was a really high scoring, which is rare, especially in week one. We had a few guys here that, as I go into these scores, I'm trying to look it up here. I like doing it from looking at the phone app because it just has everything together. What the fuck, man? I don't even know. I'm telling you, I'm all fucked up. But I have an obligation, especially in week one. It's one thing if it's next week, but it's you guys are looking forward to it. So I get it, man. You guys have been out of commission, but all right, so let's go ahead into the main matchup that we had in the Blue Streak Lives On League was the championship matchup between Carter and myself, and myself and Greg, I should say. And we were, after the draft, like I mentioned in the recap, I felt we were screwed with the ranking. I didn't feel we were number 9 at all. We had four guys that were easily in the top 7 in scoring at their respective positions. But I knew that Carter, going into week one, was the best team that we were going to face. I felt the lineup and decisions he made to have the team that he had was incredible. And we had to come with the game that we did. And unfortunately, it wasn't enough, as he ended up winning 137 to 125. And the usual suspects came up, meaning as far as scoring well, Patrick Mahomes having that great outing in Kansas City, doing what he typically does, and they're just picking up things. Remember, in Kansas City, they picked up offensive linemen, so the things that Tampa Bay exposed in the Super Bowl, they went ahead and alleviated. So now the running game should be better, and Mahomes should be able to do magical things in his prime. So he was able to get up 41 points. Montgomery, which I thought was a great, great draft pick. I had him in my eyesight for 17.8. Very underrated. Amari Cooper is a guy that, again, flew on the people's radars, and I thought he was going to have a monster year with Dak Prescott coming in, and he sure started off that way with 28 points. You had also Deontay Johnson with 10.6. All those receivers in Pittsburgh are going to be doing good as a great outing with Pittsburgh winning over in Buffalo. You had Gesicki with the goose, but with us, you had Gesicki with the goose and then had Ayuk with the goose as well. So that evened out our matchup. And then you had Chase in at 16.9. So, and the defense came up with 8 and Bass with 11. So, I mean, 137 points in week one is a great outing. For Greg and myself, I thought we put the best lineup out there. And the only one was Ayuk. And that one was a shocker with him being zero and not starting. Because I thought they were just nursing the hamstring injury. Because, remember, now the preseason only had 3 weeks. So, there were just any guys that needed some rest, maybe for some things to be 100% to go. Maybe they needed some rest or not. But Ayuk was – he led their – I want to say he led the team last year in catches and receptions and yardage for all those receivers last year. So for him to all of a sudden go from being a starter and leading the team in stats, receiving stats, to not playing at all, and Mike Shanahan saying, you know, whatever. You know, the other guy earned it. I'm like, uh-oh, here we go. Anybody that knows, you know, certain coaches, Mike Shanahan used to be like that. So his son has taken up after him when it comes to running back by committee, when it comes to just players. I don't know if anybody that doesn't follow football or doesn't know Mike Shanahan doesn't fucking understand how frustrating it is from a fantasy football level. The guys put points, but you don't know which guy he's going to start. So that was a really shocking thing for us, but overall, the other one was Davante Adams, right? But that was the shellacking that happened over – did they play in Jacksonville or Green Bay? I don't even know. But New Orleans just went in there 38-3, and it's just a fucking jam fest as far as for the New Orleans. And it's funny because I saw Drew Brees saying something along the lines of, hey, I guess that's what New Orleans needed. They needed somebody that could just throw the ball a little bit deeper than I could. And Jameis, and I know we're not talking about Jameis, but that game with Green Bay and New Orleans, I felt Jameis is in the perfect spot. I talk to people all the time. Him being a former Bucs player, I knew what he was capable of. I mean, he ended up throwing for 5,000 yards. My thing to everybody is, if he could cut the dumb decisions, he's fucking great. He's top 10 quarterback in the league, no matter what. 2-minute warning. Deep ball, every fucking throw. But when he gets into that dumb, I got to make a dumb play, if he can get that out of his fucking system, he's a fucking great quarterback to have. So, but unfortunately for Davante Adams and our staff, he just disappointed. He didn't come through with it. And that's okay. I mean, the way I feel is like Aaron Rodgers, R-E-L-A-X. I'm not worried about that. But 125 points, that's nothing to be ashamed of. But Carter's team obviously is showing what we thought, or especially myself, I thought from the season going into it after the draft. I said, man, this fucking guy's got a squad, and we can't fuck around. So he went ahead and kicked my ass in week one to let me know, hey, man, that all that shit you were talking last year all through the summer, that's not going to happen this year. And we're going to make sure it doesn't happen again. And me and Greg, we're going to go ahead and take notes and go ahead and see what we can do for week two. But it sucks because I don't mind losing, but it's losing, but then having the sixth spot in the waiver wire. Like, fuck. All right, but whatever. All right, next up, man, is Roll to a Chip. That's my boy. He rebranded, and he's trying to do some big things, and he obviously got off to a great start with a win over Rough Buff, 121-84. And this one, he had magical Kyler Murray. And he was 45 points. Arizona, you got to look at this. And I understood your position, Adrian. You took him a little bit higher than we expected you to, or anybody, because we were going to take him in that turnaround. And for us, I mean, we just felt that he had everything in place. He had the same offense, had the same players. He had Hopkins now there, more acclimated with him. They had the same coaching, same everything. So it was a matter of them just having that continuity. And obviously, he picked up where he left off last year. And he's going to be able to win you some games. You know, and that's something that's really good. I'm really excited for you now, because we really felt very high about his status as well. But 45 points he was able to get you. Chubb got you 20. Barkley, that's wow, what a fall from grace, right? If this year ends up being this bad for Barkley, because the Giants over there got their ass kicked at home against Denver, and him not doing the things that he's doing, I mean, oh, man, that's got to – it's one of the biggest disappointments, right? Because, I mean, he looked like the second coming of, like, Maurice Jones-Drew in a way. Just had a nose for getting through the tackles and getting some big yardage and obviously in the end zone. But, man, I hope this is not the beginning of the end of a falling star. But he went with 2.7. McLaurin gave you 6.2. Godwin, 15.5 in a Thursday night game. What a great game that was. Higbee, 7.8, and Henderson, you know, and I didn't see that the Tampa Bay game. I saw the highlights. I was watching him on the phone as I could. I fucking was calling Xfinity because, like, when I moved to the new house, I don't have everything set up. I was like, guys, give me the fucking NFL package. Give me the fucking red zone. Give me fucking all this and that, because Thursday night, I couldn't do anything. I was like, fuck, I couldn't even watch it from my phone. I was so fucking pissed. You know, the Bucks were on Thursday night, and obviously Brady doing what Brady does. But anyway, let's see here. Tyler Higbee, 7.8. That offense in fucking L.A., ooh, it looks a little bit better. Looks a little bit better with Stafford there. And it just makes you think about how much they gave up, right? But, man, I mean, they knew something we didn't know, because Stafford is looking pretty fucking good, man. I was watching some of the breakdowns on NFL while I was shivering yesterday. I was fucking shivering, guys. That fucking shot ain't no fucking joke. Like, you shivering, like, fuck him. But, and then we just showing some good stuff that he was doing in L.A. And Stafford looks like he's going to have a good year. So, I don't know if he's on anyone's roster. But I think at this rate, it's safe to say that he's going to be either a good streamer or QB1 potential. You had Henderson that came through with 14.7. You had the Baltimore defense that... I didn't watch the ending of that Monday nighter, but it looked like they went into overtime, and it just, you know, again, I mean, Raiders with Gruden, it's one of those things that Gruden has been quite overhyped, if you think about it. I mean, he had a good thing going in his first stint with L.A. and obviously with Tampa, but the Magic hasn't been the same, but hey, they ended up winning, so they won it out. But the Baltimore defense ended up being -1, and Zerline gave you 10. And Maddie, I mean, your combo of Allen and Diggs just came up with 28, 29 points against the Pittsburgh defense that really went into their play, especially with T.J. Watt, the $120 million man. And he looked a lot like his brother. I mean, it's like, shit, this guy's a wrecking ball out there. And I was watching that Pittsburgh game, and I was like, whoa, these guys look solid. And it just goes to show the consistency of that organization. They know what they're doing. And they got all the weapons. They got Big Ben healthy. And it looks like if Najee Harris can get it fucking together and be that explosiveness like they've had in the past with the prior running backs, that they're going to be, again, another playoff team with possibly being able to make a deep run in the playoffs. So, but the Diggs and Jaren Allen combo only gave you 29 points. Then you have Mostert that went down with a knee injury. And here we go, the Shanahanigans. That's what I'm going to call it. The Shanahanigans are coming, where these now running back by committee is going to happen. I want to say that's one of the news. I think he was put in IR, if I'm not mistaken. And let me see here. He's out for, I want to say, yeah, I mean, he's out for, he's in IR. So, I mean, some of the people, you know, Fitzpatrick went down for 6 to 8 weeks too. And Judy went down 4 to 6 weeks. So, but yeah, so he's going to be out for the year. And that's going to be, ugh, you know, the waiver wire, man. That, again, that's where I wish, if I would have lost, I want to lose by 50, you know, like 121 to 50. So I'm going to get that number one pick in the waiver wire after week one. But unfortunately, we weren't able to do that. Claypool had 7. Noah Fant had 7.2. Singletary at the flex gave you 8, Matty. And the Buffalo defense gave you 4. You went the homer route, but it didn't pan out for you. But A-Train had his stud game. He had Kyler Murray, like I said, Chubb. He had a good squad, and there was nothing on the bench that was going to help you. Even if you put Kirk Cousins in over Jarrett, I mean, that would have been an 8-point difference. You had nothing else going on, but not a good start. Not a good start for you, Matty. Again, but someone ranked you to be better than what you are. So hopefully you do your thing and give it a bounce back. But good job to you, A-Train, as Road to a Chip is getting off to a great start. Next up is Smells Like Fish versus Team Out for Blood. And, oh, I mean, that was a little close there. 106-95 as Donnie pulls out the win. He had Joe Burrow lined up there for 25 and seen him with his former receiver. And that was the knock, wasn't it? Because Chase and was dropping balls in preseason. And it ended up being just a fucking faux pas because he ended up just dominating and doing well with him as Joe Burrow ended up winning over there against Minnesota 27-24. You had Alvin Kamara with 15. And that's another thing that's going to help Jameis in New Orleans, having a great running back like Kamara. You have Clyde Edwards-Helaire with 7.2. I think he's going to have a lot of upside. Everything looked good. They just had a good matchup there against Cleveland. I don't know. Clowney went over there too. So they have Garrett and Clowney over there in the Browns doing some damage. You have Julio Jones, 2.9. It just looked like Tennessee game. Goodness, that Chandler Jones dude was going the fuck off. That guy had like, when I was watching it, it was like he had like 3 sacks. Like in the first quarter, I want to say there was a stat that said he had the most stats, most sacks in a game ever since they recorded that type of stat. I don't even know if I even made sense. But I just said, you know, the sack stat. They're saying that he was fucking balling, basically. And it's never been done before. Okay. I'm not going to get in here and try to be smart and shit. I let these people that make the money. But Tyler Lockett had 22. Yeah, now Russell Wilson, supposedly he's got a new offensive coordinator. And that was just reaping the rewards there. I'm surprised that, you know, I was thinking just offhand, why didn't Seattle go for Julio Jones? I don't fucking get that. But anyway, because Russell Wilson would have used him fucking beautiful too. But anyway, 2.9 for Julio Jones. He let you down there, Donnie. But Greg Kittle came out with 5.8. Edmonds came with 10.6. Carolina defense 11. And Carolina defense is going to be interesting with the pairing of the quarterback and the coach. I guess they played the quarterback played for the coach, so I guess they're going to put him in position. It was weird because watching that quarterback, I forgot his name. Fuck, like I said, I'm all fucked up, guys. But the Carolina quarterback was formerly New York, the Jets, and they were asking him about that. You know, he's like, hey, man, it kind of felt weird, but I got into it, and they ended up winning. So maybe a change of scenery was the thing that he needed. But Carolina with McCaffrey there, and I think Robbie Anderson went over there as well. It looks like it may be a different year over in Carolina as they ended up winning over the Jets. But it's the Jets, though, 1914. But for you, Kevin, you went with Harris and Big Ben. And that one, he didn't have a spectacular start. Mr. Harris, 4.9. And Big Ben, obviously, with 15.5. That's not going to cut it in the league. You got to get quarterbacks out there to give you 25, 30. I mean, that's the expectation you got to have. And Big Ben just let you down in that department. You have Miles Sanders coming through with 13.3. That was one, right, with Jalen Hurts over in Philadelphia. They were giving them the business, Atlanta Falcons. I was like, whoa, this fucking guy's here to play. And it's pretty cool because they had 3 quarterbacks in Alabama at one time that are now all starting. They were all in the same quarterback room that are all starting in an NFL. Mac Jones, Tua. And what's the other one? Fuck! I gotta tell you, man, I'm fucking sick, guys. I'm trying to act normal and shit, but man, I'm still feeling chills. But three quarterbacks in that fucking room, and they fucking doing some damage. So, you know, kudos to Nick Saban and his staff there. But anyway, Miles Sanders 13.3, Tyreek Hill. I'm sure he led the receivers. It was either him or I don't remember what's the other fucking quarterback. Cooper. I don't even know. I gotta check. I don't know, man. Guys, fuck. I'm fucking up. But no, but he had a stellar game. Tyreek Hill. Fucking back to normal, Kansas City. And Judy, ooh, I mean, that one hurt big time. That would have been the difference probably for you, Kev, if he would have stayed up in that game. I think it was high ankle sprain negative, if I'm mistaken. They say he's out for 4 to 6 weeks, so hopefully that works out good. Yeah, Gaskin at the flex. You had Howard at the tight end. I don't think Howard is going to come back. And I'll be shocked if he does, because Gronk is Brady's receiver. Anybody that's seen Gronk play, I don't care what you tell me. Like, he has the best hands of a tight end I've ever seen. I'm trying to think, you know, I can't go that far back, but better hands than Tony Gonzalez, better than Antonio Gates. Like, I've never seen a guy catch so many balls. And not only that, but then he does the tiptoe action. So he's really good in the end zone. Like, I've never seen, like, a tight end that fucking good. Like, with that great hands. And Gronk, I think he's going to be the main guy, especially after shaking off the rust last year. So hopefully Howard comes in. He's a stud. Maybe they'll trade him. We'll see what happens there. Gaskin gave you 8.6. You had the Denver defense at 7. And you have Bucker, you know, for 10. Any difference that you could have made there? I mean, obviously, if you would put a different tight end in there, I don't know if you had Ebron at 1.9. It wouldn't have mattered. I mean, Jameis for 40. Jesus fucking Christ. Yeah, I mean, Jameis is, like I said, man, Jameis is, if he doesn't do the bonehead plays, if he's gotten that out of his system, he's a monster. No doubt about it. Like, you're not going to convince me otherwise. If he's got the crab legs out of his system, he's good. But otherwise, no, he's fucked, man, you know. But Melvin Gordon, that's a great surprise to also too, Kev. So, you know, even though you lost, you have a lot of good stuff happening with Gordon and Winston in your bench. And I think you could probably, if you mix and play the right ones, I think you're in it. You're not as bad as many people would think you are, but, you know, it was a good, solid effort there. Just a couple people let you down, and Donnie came out with a win. But congratulations, Donnie, as you're 1-0. And we'll see you next week. I don't know if I'll play you next week, but we'll see what the matchup brings. Next up, Money Never Sleeps versus CDNT. And prior to the Monday Nighter, Diesel was winning this one. So we were waiting on Waller to come through. And, you know, Sir Arthur thought that I was giving him a hard time about his picks. I thought the first three or four were on fire. It was just kind of like later on, I was saying, that's kind of how I felt. But when you ended up getting, I want to say it was, obviously you got McCaffrey, you had Waller, and you had somebody else. I forgot exactly who it is. We'll go through your lineup here. But I felt you had a good team. I thought it was a playoff team. And obviously it shows here with the win, you know, coming from behind. And I mean, Justin Herbert let you down. That was one of the picks I was like, come on. You know, you could have waited. But he gave you 18.9. McCaffrey, do what McCaffrey does, 19.7. Yeah, Mike Davis with 7.2. C.D. Lamb was 17.4. And that was the one, like I said, that was another one. I was like, Amari Cooper's a little bit better, you know. But we'll see how it goes. Cooper Kupp, stellar. I think him and Stafford, they were showing a rapport that's pretty awesome. And I think that's going to go ahead. He has a lot more upside than I thought on that one. So I think Cooper Kupp, after definitely that Sunday nighter, he looked like he's going to be a big part of it, barring injury. So I hope he keeps producing like this for you. And like I said, I mean, Waller came through at the end there with the overtime. And Higgins, you know, came through in the flex. That was another good one there for you. So the New England defense is 7. I mean, let's talk about that game in New England real quick, because I felt that Mac Jones in the preseason looked like he had Brady-ish fucking things going on. I was like, this guy's quick release. This guy is fucking just pocket passer, short passing, accurate, decision making. It just it just felt like that offense was built for him a little bit. And I understood when I was blown away, but I understood why New England dumped Cam. I just went with him. It's like, it's good enough. And I was telling this to MVP, Bishop Sycamore, I should say. And I was telling him that I was listening to a show and the beat writers were talking about how the biggest decision maker that happened was when Cam Newton had that, he had COVID, right? Where I guess he, I don't know if he undermined the protocol, but it was something along the lines where he had to sit out for 10 days, right? And basically during that whole time, Mac Jones took all the reps. And then they had a cross team scrimmage against the Giants. And they were saying, look, he probably threw around 500 balls, more than enough to convince the coaches that he is the guy. Like, he's going to be our guy. So, in essence, Cam Newton didn't help his cause. You know, from the preseason games and from that last stretch there at the practice, he was able to just, you know, Bill Belichick did what he's known to do. Like, he's going to really go out there and put the best person for that position. He doesn't play the politics like, hey, I'm not going to cater to you. That's not how he is. And that's what happened in this case in point. I mean, is Mac Jones Tom Brady, 7-time Super Bowl champ? No. You know, and I'll get into that in a second. Because I get really pissed off about this, about these Patriot fans jumping on Buccaneers and feeling like, hey, that's our guy. No, it's not your guy. You guys let him go. You guys let Brady go because you thought he wasn't good enough anymore. You guys let Gronk go. You guys let guys go. Antonio Brown, go. No, I'm not going to hear that. I'm not going to hear all this. Oh, they're our team. No, motherfuckers. You guys let them go. You guys thought they sucked. So don't come out here, you know, flashing your fucking Gronk and fucking Brady jersey. Because every one of yous I fucking see at a game, I know you're not from Tampa. I know you're not from here, bro. I fucking ripped that jersey off. You're not from Tampa, bro. You're from fucking little upstate town and room for Massachusetts and saying, hey, yeah, Brady. You're the same fucking fan that was booing him after he won you 3 rings and maybe lost to the Ravens in the AFC Championship. And you were like, get that bum out of there. He fucking won you 3 rings. Are you fucking kidding me? Are you going to give him a hard time because he has a down year? Huh? You guys are fucking idiots. I don't get all right. I'm sweating and chilling. I'm sorry, man. Damn, I just got, I you know, hey. Anyway, back to the recap here. But you know, Art had New England here, and he had Mr. Sanders at 6 as the kicker. I'm trying to see Diesel. You know, Diesel, Brady is Brady. I mean, he looks fucking great. I don't know what the fuck he's doing. You know, anybody that knows me knows I love Brady. Like, he is way before. I've defended Brady with Patriots fans as far as hearing those conversations. Ah, we should get rid of him. Get the fuck out of here, bro. Like, you're not going to get a quarterback like that ever, okay? And at 44 years old, doing what he's doing, fuck you, all right? Fuck you, New England people. Fuck you guys. You guys don't appreciate a good thing up there. You know, we in Tampa, we take care of people. We take care of him. And we not only we take care of him, we help him get whatever he needs. That's how you treat a fucking legend. You don't go ahead and treat him like the fucking practice guy. The 6-time fucking Super Bowl champ. You don't treat him like he's just a regular player. You take care of him. You give him weapons. You give him a defense. You give him all the pieces he fucking wants. If he wants to keep a player, keep a fucking player. You don't go ahead and say, well, it's in the best interest of the team, and the team must move on. It's all about the team. No, you don't have guys like that come around. Good fucking luck. You're not going to have legends be in there. So take care of your legends. It's not hard. Ask the Lakers. They kind of do a good job of that over there. That's a franchise that knows how to take care of its great players. I understand you guys won 6, but that guy was fucking the reason why you won 6. Nothing else. It wasn't Belichick. Belichick was good. Good combo. But Brady was the manager. And that guy's still pissed off about shit that happened 20 years ago. That's my guy. I mean, that's guys that know me, like one of my friends, like that guy's like reminds me of you when you were young. Yeah, I'm petty. Like you're fucking petty sometimes. Like Brady is petty, and that's how he's a champion. He's a winner. But anyway, all right. Sorry. See, I don't know. Sorry, guys. I'll get in the flow. I'll be faster. But Antonio Gibson gave you 8.8. Fitzpatrick being out now. With Fitzpatrick being out, does that mean that Ron Rivera, gambling Ron Arthur, does he go to go get Cam? What was the deal in Carolina of why Coach Rivera got rid of Cam, or was like, I don't know. Was it the GM or was it the coach? Because I think this is a great situation here for Cam to come in and help out the team. And Gibson's value is production, I should say. I don't know if they don't have anybody keeping him honest, how's he going to do, right? You know, you had Jason Taylor there for 12.6, Keenan Allen for 11, Robinson 4.5. That they're going to have to – it looked like that game on Sunday night, Diesel, with Robinson. I'm hoping that Dalton gets it together. I mean, you know that quarterback better than anybody. And I hope that – because Justin Fields, if this is going to be the games that they're going to have and the defense is going to suck like they did, then they just might as well throw Justin Fields in there and let it rip. You know, Hawkinson gave you 18.7. That was a really good pickup there. And Deebo Samuel was the guy that ended up getting all the glory in San Fran with 23.9. But when it comes to the decisions – you could have made a difference. I mean, it's close. You know, there was nothing really here, I mean, that I could see from the naked eye, the sick naked eye, that could have been any difference here. I mean, Robinson, you couldn't have picked him in. I mean, you could probably put, nope. So you gave it the best shot, and it didn't work out. So congratulations to you, Sir Arthur. Come from behind win as you were going into the Monday night of behind, and you're here looking good at 1-0. Next up is the real Bishop Sycamore. I already had to say what I had to say versus Mighty Jags. And I just love seeing this, guys. I love seeing Ron just, again, total disrespect for that fucking guy. There's never enough respect for a former champion in this league. And he came in there and they were laughing at him again. And Bishop Sycamore, what a dope. You know, he reminds me of Porky Pig. Porky Pig. Why? Because when I sent him an offer, let me just tell you the offer that I sent him. Because he's always trying to wheel and deal, right? I'm like, all right. You want a wheel and deal? He's asking me for players. He's asking me for fucking the receiver from Brown for Tennessee. He's like, okay, what do you want for Brown? What do you want for Brown? I'm like, okay, all right, Porky Pig, Stuttering John, this is what I got. Okay, you want him that bad? Okay, I'll take your fucking receiver, that's a lesser quality, Mike Evans, but then I'll give you Swift. So I gave him AJ Brown a Swift for Mike Evans and fucking Eckler. He's like, I'm gonna. He's just stuttering. He couldn't make it happen. And that would have been a 14-point difference in his team. Would he have one? No. But, man, he would have been able to make it out because Mike Evans gave him 2.4. Eckler gave you 11. Swift gave you more. You would have been in it. Tannehill got rocked. Mixon did his thing, surprisingly. That was one of those running backs I don't think many people trusted. But, you know, you follow your ESPN drafts. You know, man, this is how I rated Prater. You know, I don't know. I mean, he probably looks like you should draft him. ESPN ranking says, you know, you probably picked him because of that. You big dope. And, you know, all this, you're the worst drafter. That's the thing. I got to tell that to everybody. Bishop Sycamore got its name for a great reason. Because he's a shitty-ass drafter. Beyond shitty. And I don't understand how Carter gave him a fucking 7. That's unbelievable. And I don't know, man, I'm fucking sweating, dude. I mean, you know what? I mean, I'm going to finish this out. But, you know, Bishop Sycamore disgusts me. It's like, how do we let people like Bishop Sycamore in this fucking league? And don't you see? He's not doing anything good. There's no production there. I mean, you're looking at his old roster, Mark Andrews, 2.0. He didn't do shit for you. Green Bay defense didn't do shit for you. The kicker in Jacksonville. Why would you pick that with that shitty-ass rookie quarterback? That's what you get. Well, he's not shitty, but you know what I mean. He's a rookie. You big dope. You deserve to lose games. And I'm glad Geronimo got his due. Russell Wilson, 36.9. Russell Wilson has to be one of the most underrated fantasy football quarterbacks that no one thinks about when it comes to the stats. I'm sure if we run his numbers, they got to be top three or top five. And he fucking does it year after year after year. That's who I was eyeing, Kyler Murray. I was eyeing Russell Wilson. And obviously, those guys were gone by the time we were thinking about quarterbacks. Those two guys, I'm like, pick those fucking guys. They're giving you anywhere from 25 to fucking 45 points. Every fucking time, it seems like. Geronimo went in there and got his job. He's got Dalvin Cook. He got Dylan didn't come through with 2.6. But DK Metcalf came through with the combination. You know, Justin Jefferson had an off night. You had Pitts, 3.1. Okay, we'll see what happens in Atlanta. That was a bad game for the Eagles. For the Falcons, I should say. You have Chenault at 6.9. Washington D at 1.0. We just talked about them a little bit. But, you know, MVP, Bishop Sycamore, loser. What could you have done? Oh, Gronkowski was on the bench. Duh. What a fucking dope. Oh, Antonio Brown was on the bench. Oh, those guys were high scoring positions. Great. Let me sit them on the bench. Woo. I love it. Look. You know, I take that back. I tell you, I'd rather have the Bishop Sycamores in this league than have a Paul. Okay? That is for certain for me 100%. You know what? I take that back. I want Bishop Sycamores in here every fucking year. You know? I know Donnie told me the infamous quote, but Bishop Sycamores, really, they really deserve that, Donnie. The Bishop Sycamores of this league, you know what I'm talking about, right? I mean, you know those guys that we look at that roster and we know, hey, man, they're not going to show up and play this year at all, man. It's easy money. You know that. Bishop Sycamore, in my opinion, did a horrible, horrible job. And I'm so glad he got exposed. Now he's crying to his daddy. He's still howling at the moon about not getting Brady. You big dope! You're a big dope. What do you think? He's a former Patriot. No. No, he fucked up. He fucked up like Belichick fucked up. And you guys want to, I don't know. I'm going to be on Bishop Sycamore this year. I'm going to be on him. Congratulations, Romulo. Last one, the rookie versus Big Burke. And, you know, Burke, God bless his heart. He runs this league. I'm always going to say that in spectacular fashion. We almost had an exodus last year. It was really almost the game changer with that trade that was not supposed to happen, but it happened. And then we always had a mutiny in our hands. But the commissioner handled everything. Everybody got under control and all is well now as we go into a new year. But Big Burke, the commissioner. But Aaron Rodgers, though, like I said, I think he's going to shake off the rust. Now, the question is, Burke, when, you know, Aaron Rodgers giving you four, do you stream a QB for a game or two until you see Rodgers get back up to par, right? Because, I mean, he was doing some things that it was not Aaron Rodgers-like. And no one going into the opener thought that New Orleans was going to be a defense that was going to shut them down to 3 points. So that's something to think about. It's like, you know, do I let him kind of shake the rust off after a few weeks and then just put him in there? Or do I just go ahead and ride with him from beginning to end? I know, Berg, you ride your horses until they die. I come from that same mindset, too. After 4 or 5 games, I implode the team. Thank God I have a great owner now that in Greg that just calms me the fuck down. But, you know, there's no reason to panic right now. But Aaron Rodgers doing what he did. I mean, if he could have just gave you what he normally does, it would have been game over. Derrick Henry gave you 7.7. You had Harris at 9.7. Ridley at 6.1. Who else here? Juju at 5.2. You had Mr. Smith, a tight end, at 5.8. And then you had Thielen. Thielen was a great one at the flex, 22. So, I don't even want to look at what other decisions you could have made. Because really, I mean, look at Hurts. I mean, you had him for 37. I want to say you picked up Cam, but then you had to drop him, if I'm not mistaken. But, yeah, like I said, that's going to be one you have to think about in the future going forward. As the rookie came in with the business, Lamar Jackson came 21. Nothing spectacular there. The running backs let you down, and with Robinson and Jones, you got to giddy up on that category. Because in this league, boy, those running backs don't show up. Ugh, it's going to be rough. But, you know, D. Hopkins came through with 21 and Robert Woods came with 9. You have Thomas at 9, solid tight end. Again, that's going to be impacted, man. Like, if they could just – Gesicki is – I mean, he was playing good in the playoffs. I mean, I would say for the Bucs, that was the toughest game that they had in the playoffs, believe it or not. But Gesicki was like – if you would have been a little bit better, they probably would have won that game. But, you know, I don't trust any of the weapons in Washington. You know, with Fitzpatrick for sure, but anybody else, unless it's Newton coming in, you know, it's just going to be interesting what they do over in the Washington football team. And you had the Miami defense at 4. Congratulations to the Fish going in there and smacking New England. No one's afraid of New England anymore. It's like they make dumb decisions out there, right, Bishop Sycamore? You know, we'll see how many championships now they'll win after Brady. We'll see now. Just like the Bulls thought they had it all figured out after Jordan, they thought, we're going to win many more championships. We're going to go ahead and do it, man. It's been fucking 20 years. Get the fuck out of here. Fucking management doesn't win you championships. Get the flying fuck out of here. Treat your players right. And don't fucking think that it's all about the team. No, professional sports, it's about the player. Then the team. Then the coach, maybe. All right? So the fucking coach is like a people manager. I'm just going off, guys. I'm sorry. I'm sick. I'm crabby. I don't know. But I'm looking at the rookie here. Sutton gave you 1.4. Even with Bridgewater there. I don't think that's interesting right there. But he should get more points and touches now that Jeudy went down. But, nothing spectacular. I mean, there's nothing that we're going to go home and write about because that could have been an easy loss for you. And I'm going to be hard on you, Rook, just simply because this league just kicks you in the balls. And you're going to see a little bit about that. But Burke, hopefully this is just 1 week for you. And I hope you're able to get it done. So congratulations, guys, to the winners and losers as I go through the rankings here. We got Carter at number 1, Sir Arthur at number 2. We got A-Train at number 3, Road to a Chip. Number 4 is Donnie. Number 5 is Sweet Ron. And the rookie is at number 6 with the win, though. So that's not bad. Let me go ahead and see, like, what I wanted to see something here as far as the rankings and shit for the players after week 1. What the fuck, man? Fuck. Man, this is fucking bullshit. You know, I'm just trying to put on a good product. I don't want to get angry and fucking because I'm fucking sick. This is fucking bullshit. Fuck all you guys. I fucking hate you guys. Okay, the top at each position. The top quarterbacks this past week, we had Kyler Murray at 1. We had Mahomes at 2. Jameis at 3. Goff at 4. Jalen Hurts at 5. We had a running backs, the top 5 that scored were Christian McCaffrey, Joe Mixon, Jamal Williams, DeAndre Swift. How about that, MVP? Huh? and Nick Chubb and Melvin Gordon rounding them off, right? Then you had the wide receivers. Yeah, Amari Cooper, Tyreek Hill, Deebo Samuel, Adam Thielen, and Corey Davis. That's your top five receivers. Your tight end, you had Gronk. He was on the bench. Darren Waller, TJ Hockenson, Travis Kelce, and Juwan Johnson. Uh-oh. He may be a waiver wire pickup. And the flex, we already had that in defense, top five last week. Cardinals, yes, Saints, yes, Steelers, Panthers, and Eagles. And the kickers, we don't give a flying fuck about kickers. They fucking just do their job and get the fuck out. So that's it. You know, I'm not going to have nothing fancy here. I'm going to go back to bed. I'm just not going to be bothered, man. I've got to go. I'm out.
I mean, the only college coach that I've ever envied, that I've been like, that guy had a great life, Sandusky. You know, Jerry Sandusky, I think, just knew, like, he didn't have to take it too seriously.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, you know, it's not all business. You can have some pleasure in there. But other than that.
Man. Well, we were all waiting for that, weren't we?